The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
7:38. It is Friday, and our nonprofit feature is just something we do every Friday. We're so glad to do it.
We
and the folks that help sponsor that.
They're really play an important part in building a strong community. We want to thank the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation for helping us bring you this nonprofit spotlight every Friday here on The Morning Jam. Today, we're going to be talking with the Virginia Legal Aid Society as they are here with us and have been quite busy in the past year and a half, maybe more than you've ever been before. We've got Cliff Glickman with us today. And Cliff, tell us who you have joining you.
I am the outreach person for Virginia Legal Aid Society, but I brought with me Jeremy White. He is the managing attorney of our Lynchburg office.
Okay, so you're the man in the heat of it. For sure, aren't you?
Yeah, right. We're sort of in the line of fire. I think the big shift pandemic-wise has been so much surrounding housing, and as you know, there's been on and off again with that. But with Virginia Legal Aid, we serve low-income population with civil legal problems, and that includes housing or benefits or like unemployment cases. Those are also something that's a whole nother problem at this point.
I was going to ask you, we did a story just earlier this week about a man who had lost his job. It was actually for a physical reason. He had like a health issue. He had worked for this company for 26 years, but had some physical things that caused him to lose his job. And so he'd been paying in for years and years and years. I think he took about $9,000 in
benefits.
And now they're wanting all that back.
Yeah, that's not uncommon right now. I forget the numbers, but the system was already, particularly on a real software level, was pretty dated.
Right.
And then when this demand hit the pandemic, it was pretty much the bottom fell out at the VEC. So what they've been working on now, I think this is some consolation maybe, but is that a revamp of their software and their ability to respond.
Sure.
So there have been improvements to, you can get on now and set up a login as a claimant to see what's going on, to see what VEC sees. So there's a little more transparency in some of that. You can also set up a time for them to call you. So you can go on, there's a calendaring system. So hopefully some of those at least communication problems that had been no one could really navigate with the VEC, hopefully that will help. Now things are still sitting and moving very slowly, but the overpayments definitely are part of that, and we think there's going to be a lot of mistakes.
Well, and I'm not
there.
Even sure that this was an overpayment, but like you say, there's so many trying to figure out drilling it down to what the real issue is a challenge.
Yeah, they're getting the money, and then they're saying they've been overpaid. No, we shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Now, there is a provision now in the law that does allow waiver of some of those where they say it's overpaid in certain instances. They can say, okay, no. We're not going to try and collect if it's our fault. They didn't even used to have that provision.
And there's always a certain level of fraud anytime something like this happens on such a large scale. Everybody's running like a chicken with their head cut off, just trying to help meet the needs.
Well, I remember Bryce was 17 at the time when all this happened, and he started getting all this money, and I'm like, don't you cash that? What on earth is going on?
Yeah.
But I don't think most people do that, probably.
Right.
If you've lost your job and you've applied and they send you a check, that you figure they're right.
Well, that's right. You do assume that, especially if you're, if you're a kid. But, he hadn't even been working that long.
Sure.
It was crazy how all that happened. And then, of course, like you say, you've got the people who are scamming the system. Let's talk about the challenges. And I know you all have been dealing really on the front lines with this for a while. And that is the whole landlord situations that people are, getting kicked out of their homes and they're getting far behind on their rent. And you have quite a few clients you're helping that way as well.
That's right. So we've brought on other staff through a grant to help tenants and landlords navigate the rent relief program. And that's really been that funnel of funds from several sources, including federal dollars, to the state through Virginia Housing, that says if you've had any kind of hardship, financial expenses that have gone up, income that's gone down during the pandemic, then you have up to 18 months of eligibility mm-hmm. for rent relief. So there's that's also has a new rollout system as of December 1st.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how much will be visible on the front end, but they did switch contractors. We're hopeful that will also add to a more efficient processing time.
Right.
It's also been it's been variable. Some have been pretty quick, but there's mm-hmm. also been some delays.
So you have a team of people called Housing Navigators. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that works and how people can utilize that? Because if I'm understanding this right, you can reach out and utilize this as a tenant or as a landlord. Am I explaining that correctly?
That's correct. That's correct. Just think about what we're trying to what the government's trying to accomplish here. That the government does not want a whole bunch of people to get evicted mm-hmm. in the middle of a pandemic that would just make everything worse.
Right.
So there's a lot of money available. The federal government has distributed to the states. That doesn't solve the problem yet because the states have to figure out how to get that money to the people who need it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a balancing act. You need to try to prevent fraud, as you were saying, mm-hmm. that there's always the possibility of fraud in something like this. So
sure.
you need to ask a certain number of questions, yet try not to make the process so complicated that nobody can do it.
Right.
The solution that Virginia settled on is a process that is a little complicated, but there are folks out there to help people complete the process, and that's where we come in. Our seven housing navigators will help anybody that asks us. We'll help you apply for the money. I have some numbers as of the start of December.
Mm-hmm.
There's some real money getting put in the hands of the people that need it. We have submitted 559 applications. This is our full territory, which goes beyond the Lynchburg area.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Lynchburg down south to like Martinsville and Danville,
mm-hmm.
and then east all the way out to Suffolk. That is
okay.
That's the territory that we that
that's
we
pretty
cover.
Good size. Yeah,
it is. It's the mm-hmm. it's roughly the size of the state of Maryland.
Wow,
that's our territory. Mm. So we've done more than 500 of these applications. 363 have already been approved.
Mm-hmm.
And we have handed out nearly one. The state has handed out $1.7 million to these people, give it at roughly $4,000
per
mm-hmm. per successful application. So that's the kind of help that folks are getting. If
what?
You've fallen behind on your rent,
mm-hmm.
fallen behind on your electric payments,
mm-hmm.
or even if you've if you need money to buy food,
mm-hmm.
those sort of basic needs. We don't want people to have to leave their homes.
Right. What are you using to follow up to make sure, let's say, an infusion of $4,000 comes in. What is the follow up to make sure that those monies are going to the right, to the landlord, for example, or to the power company? How does that work?
Yeah, well, those dollars just go directly to the landlord.
Okay.
So we're on the front end with the applications mm-hmm. and the approval process, and then the state takes care of the actual funding. So
okay.
the money doesn't roll through us. We're facilitating the application
right.
With the state. So the funds either get direct deposit or directly sent to the landlord.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that I want to make sure that people understand, if you need help and you need assistance and information and knowing what your legal rights are, you don't just help people who are renting. You have a lot of fantastic articles, even on your website, that speak to home ownership and, if you're impacted by the pandemic, and you're afraid of, you could lose your home, things like that, what your legal rights are, some of the processes that steps you can take. Is that correct?
Yeah, at vlas.org, anyone can look up just any
There's
kinds
so
of topics,
many great
all
articles,
kinds of information
yeah.
on the current mm-hmm. law in Virginia, and that will answer a lot of questions. The other thing I'll say, you mentioned home ownership. Virginia is getting ready to roll out some mortgage assistance
that's okay.
like this rent relief program.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows quite when. The pot of money may not be quite as big, but
right.
that is also on the horizon. So we're keeping our eye out for that as well, because there's also that definite need. out there that's...
Is part of this bill that just got passed, I know they're working on another one that's bigger and better, according to them. Anyway, the last one that just made it through in the last couple of weeks, were there monies in there for some of this, or is this from the original CARES Act, from the original bill, or the second one that got passed by Trump during that transition?
Yeah, the monies that are there, and I think including the mortgage money, are from the previous.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's why it's sort of just now getting into onto the streets.
Right. It takes a while to work. It's
slowly, don't they?
Yeah. It takes a little while. Mm. And I think another important thing is that, you know, that budget amendment language in Virginia made sure to include that landlords have to apply for RRP. And so landlords can go on and set up their own login on this portal at Virginia Housing.
Okay.
From in the past, we've seen that's been pretty efficient when landlords do that, because they have to get approved.
Sure.
So there's a front-end approval, I think, that gives them some security that it's not going to be fraudulent. So landlords have to now be involved and do this RRP application if someone's had a hardship before they can even file an eviction.
Sure. One of the things that the last time we had you in here is you guys are literally there to kind of hold the hand of the person who might be overwhelmed. Let's just say I'm a renter and this is hit me really bad because of my job. I can only work maybe 2 days a week or whatever. You guys literally carry them through the process of the applications, which can be a daunting task. You look at 3 or 4 pages and you go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of stuff.
And
you literally walk them through it.
And it's not just them. I mean, I have a friend who he's been, you know, struggling with cancer and that type of thing. One of the things that they did years ago was they established some rental properties to be able, as they got older, to have that be their income. Well, that's his income.
Mm-hmm.
And when COVID hit, you know,
right.
It's so you've got the person paying the rent, they're being impacted, and then you have the landlord, he's being impacted. So, I mean, there's a lot of stressful people that you're dealing with.
And because it's only an online portal, that can sort of make, particularly if you're dealing with an elderly landlord, that could be overwhelming.
Right, right.
They're maybe not even regularly using an email or real proficient. So we've done some of those troubleshooting sort of things with landlords as well.
Sure.
So again, let's give them the information about where they need to go to find immediate information. Or if you know someone maybe who's older and struggling, you can help get them there or get them the contact information.
Yeah, so the best way is vlas.org because you have the direct phone line for the rent relief navigators.
Mm-hmm.
You also have our direct line for any legal issue, and it's often they're connected, so you may need to do both. There's also an app on our website to see if you may be eligible as a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
So the toll-free numbers are there to reach out.
And we're going to put a link on our social media as well. And we'll, if you're just coming into this interview, we'll have this interview up a little bit later on.
Yeah, on our SoundCloud.
As well. We want to thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And thank you for joining us this morning. Chris, this Nonprofit Spotlight has been brought to you by the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.